I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were
forsaken. I'm accepted.
You were condemned. I'm alive and well.
Your spirit is within me because
you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. What a beautiful thought I was thinking concerning a great speckled bird. Remember, her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. All the other birds were flocking around her, and she is despised by the squad. But the great speckled bird in the Bible is one with the great church of God. All the other churches are against her. They envy her glory and fame. They hate her because she is chosen and has not denied Jesus' name. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch watch every move that she makes. They love to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. She is spreading her wings for a journey. She's going to leave by and by. When the trumpet shall sound in the morning, she'll rise and go up in the sky. And the presence of all her despisers, with a song never uttered before, she will rise and be gone in a moment, till the great tribulation is o'er. I am glad I have learned of her meekness. I am proud that my name is in her book, for I want to be one never fearing the face of my Savior to look. When he cometh descending from heaven on this cloud that he writes in his word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet him on the wings of the great speckled bird. What's the fruit? My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, is now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me, and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the dead do lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, thy Jesus is now. And there's a haven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a haven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a haven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. Matthew 12, verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Just that simple. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wer nicht mit mir ist, der ist wider mich, und wer nicht mit mir sammelt, der zerstreut. Just that simple. You're either with us or you're against us. Just that simple. I'm going to read that one you read in Hosea the other day.
Hosea 9, verse 8. The prophet is a watchman over Ephraim on behalf of God, yet traps are laid for him along all of his paths. Animosity rages against him in the land of his God.
That's what we're up against. That's what Hosea went through, and that's what we're going through. We don't have to apologize to nobody. We know exactly where we're at. We know what we're about. Are you with us or are you against us? It's just that simple. And we don't make no apologies for what we believe and what we got and what we stand for. Because we're all back, everything we say and do is backed up by the scriptures. They can try to prove us wrong if they want to, but they're just wasting their time. Because it's a freedom. It's a freedom of choice. You know, you gotta choose. You do what's right or do what's evil. It's just that simple. There's no middle ground here. And you and I, we chose to follow the Lord. And that's why we're at the way we're at. We're being mocked from everybody, you know. We're stumbling block for society, you know. But we made a decision and we intend to finish this course. We're not going to be intimidated or fear-mongered or anything like that. We know we're right, so we have no apologies to make. And you're either with us or you're against us. It's just that simple. There's something here in Weisheit, the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5. Then will the righteous man stand with great confidence in the presence of his oppressors. We've got lots of oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
And those who derided his sufferings. On beholding him, his oppressors will be seized with terrible dread and will be amazed at his unexpected deliverance. With remorse, they will speak to one another and groaning in distress of spirit, they will say, "Is this the one who we once mocked and made a target of our insults?" That's what they did to Hosea back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They made a fool of him and made a target of our insults. Fools that we were, we regarded his way of life as madness and his end as dishonorable. Why is he now reckoned among the children of God, sharing the lot of the saints? See, there's going to be a time when the wicked, those that mock us now, they're going to see reality for what it is, and they're going to be allowed to take a look into the heavenly realm. And they'll say to themselves, "Clearly we have been the ones who have strayed from the way of truth, and the light of justice has not shone for us, or the sun risen upon us. We had our fill of traversing the paths of lawlessness and ruin, and wandered across tactless deserts. But the way of the Lord we have been ignorant of. Of what avail has arrogance been to us?" See, they're arrogant. And they chose to be arrogant. But what avail has it been to us? What advantage have we received from our vaunted wealth? All these things have passed like a shadow, much like a fleeting notice. Like a ship that sailed through the surging waters, of whose passage once it was passed by, no trace can be found, no wake from its keels and the waves. Like when we went to Alaska, I went on that ferry and went to the back and looked. For a while, there's that little bit of a trail where that ship went, and then after, when you look way back, the water comes together again, and there's no sign of it. Like a ship that sails through the surging waters of whose passage once it has passed, no trace can be found, no wake from its keels and waves, or like a bird that flies through the air, and no sign of its passage is left, for the light air whipping by the beat of its pinions and cleft by the force of the speed is traversed by its flapping wings. And afterward there's no sign of its passage. Or as when an arrow is shot at the target, the air is parted but immediately comes together again, and no evidence remains of the passage. So have the wicked. So also, as soon as we were born, ceased to be and had not a trace of virtue to exhibit. That's the wicked for you out there. People that mock us. People that think it's cool to see if they can make fun of us. Well, we're standing for truth. Don't let them mock if they want. And had no trace of virtue to exhibit. But we're consumed in our wickedness. That's them speaking to themselves. They're lamenting and crying the blues. The hope of the God is like chaff carried in the wind, and like a sea spray swept before the storm. It is dissipated like smoke confronted by the wind, and it passes away like the memory of a great guest who stays but a single day. That's their lot in life. That's what's going to be at the end of it. We're not just reading things. This is real life. This is where it's at. But the righteous live forever, and their recompense is with the Lord. The Most High provides for them. Therefore, they will receive a glorious crown and a splendid diadem from the hand of the Lord, where he will shelter them with his right hand and shield them with his arm. He will take zeal as his armor and arm all creation to repulse his foes. He will put on justice as a breastplate, and wear an infallible judgment as a helmet. He will take invincible holiness as a shield, and sharpen unrelenting wrath for a sword. And the whole world will unite with him to fight against the reckless. Shafts of his lightning accurately aimed will fly forth, hurling from the clouds as from a well-drawn bow toward their target, while the hailstones of his wrath will be hurled as from a sling. The waters of the sea will rage against them, and the rivers will relentlessly engulf them. A mighty wind will rise against them, and will winnow them like tempest. Lawlessness will make a whole earth a wasteland, and evil doing will overthrow the thrones of the mighty. That's what's going to happen right there on the day of the Lord. When we go up in the rapture, we come back, and we'll send and execute judgment on the wicked. That's like, you know, way back, long time ago, before the flood, he said, behold, the Lord come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. It's going to happen. It's just right before us here, within our lifetime. We're not playing games anymore. We're just calling it out the way it is, and we don't have to apologize to nobody. You want to read it in German?
Zu späte Reue der Gottlosen. Alsdann wird der Gerechte stehen mit großer Freudigkeit wider die, so ihn geängstigt haben und seine Arbeit verworfen haben. Wenn sie dann solches sehen, werden sie grausam erschrecken vor solcher Seligkeit, der sie sich nicht versehen hätten. Und werden untereinander reden mit Reue und vor Angst des Geistes seufzen. Das ist der, welcher wir vormals für einen Spott hatten und für ein höhnisches Beispiel. Wir Narren hielten sein Leben für unsinnig und sein Ende für eine Schande. Wie ist er nun gezählt unter die Kinder Gottes und sein Erbe ist unter den Heiligen? Darum so haben wir des rechten Weges gefehlt, und das Licht der Gerechtigkeit hat uns nicht geschienen, und die Sonne ist uns nicht aufgegangen. Wir sind eitel, unrechte und schändliche Wege gegangen und gewandelt wirste Umwege, aber des Herrn Weg haben wir nicht gewusst. Was hielt uns nun die Pracht? Was bringt uns nun der Reichtum samt der Hochmut? Es ist alles dahingefahren wie ein Schatten und wie ein Geschrei, das vorbefährt, so wie ein Schiff auf den Wasserwogen dahinläuft, von welchem man, so es vorüber ist, keinen Spur finden kann, noch seine Bahn in der Flut. Oder wie ein Vogel, der durch die Luft fliegt, da man seines Weges keine Spur finden kann, denn es regt und schlägt in die leichte Luft, treibt und zerteilt sie mit seinen schwebenden Flügeln, und dennoch findet man kein Zeichen solches Fluges darin. Oder wie ein Pfeil, abgeschossen, wird zum Ziel, da die zerteilte Luft alsbald wieder zusammenfällt, dass man seinen Flug dadurch nicht spüren kann. Also auch wir, nachdem wir geboren waren, haben wir ein Ende genommen und haben kein Zeichen der Tugend bewiesen. Aber in unserer Bosheit sind wir verzerrt. Denn die gottlosen Hoffnung ist wie ein Staub, von Winde zerstreut und wie ein dünner Reif, von einem Sturm vertrieben und wie ein Rauch vom Winde verweht. Und wie man eines vergisst, der nur einen Tag Gast gewesen ist, der Lohn der Gerechten. Aber die Gerechten werden ewiglich leben, und der Herr ist ihr Lohn, und der Höchste sorgt für sie. Darum werden sie empfangen ein herrliches Reich und eine schöne Krone von der Hand des Herrn. Denn er wird sie mit seiner Rechten beschirmen und mit seinem Arm verteidigen. Er wird seinen Eifer nehmen zum Harnisch und wird die Kreatur rüsten zum Rache über die Feinde. Er wird Gerechtigkeit anziehen zum Panzer und wird das erste Gericht aufsetzen zum Helm. Er wird Herrlichkeit nehmen zum unüberwindlichen Schilde. Er wird den strengen Zorn wetzen zum Schwert, und die Welt wird mit ihm zum Streit ausziehen wider die Unweisen. Die Geschosse der Blitze werden sicher treffen und werden aus den Wolken als von einem hart gespannten Bogen fahren zum Ziel, und wird dicker Hagel fallen auf der Schleuder des Zorns, so wird auch das Meereswasser wieder dividen, und die Ströme werden sich miteinander heftig ergießen, und wird auch ein starker Wind sich wieder sie legen und wird sie wie ein Wirbel zerstreuen.
That's a lot of those that are against us. Like I said, you're either for us or against us. They're trying to intimidate us. We don't have to apologize to nobody. You know, they threw it in my face and they call me up and, "Have you seen your wife lately? Did you know your wife is dying?" And all that. "Well, she's not my wife. She came into my home. These tugs out there, these leaders of these hundred compound, it's just flat out told me, you don't have a wife. She belongs to us. You don't have any children. The children belong to the church." See, we're just right now. I was not a happy camper back in the day, but now we got enough ammunition. We can actually expose these tugs for what they are. They're Satan's servants, these preachers in the colony. Just that simple. There's no other way to put it. We just read you. We And we know we're right. We've made the right choices in life. We've voluntarily made the choice to one day I'm going to follow Jesus, and I don't, no matter what, even if they kill us, even if they do this, that, and the other. And now you can either come with us and support us, or you're going to be against us. And we know we're right. We don't, like I say, we don't have to apologize to nobody, because I've got the experience. I told you about that man from Forest River Colony. I told you about some time back about that Muma here from Sunnyside, that everybody knows that Muma. I think his name is Mike. But so he's about 2 weeks from dying. He's got cancer, and he realizes, all of a sudden he realizes he hasn't done nothing for the Lord. And here he's on the deathbed. He's lamenting and crying the blues because he has done nothing for the Lord. All I did all my life was go down to the shop to work on these stupid trucks, and I have not done nothing for Jesus. Like it dawned on him all of a sudden. And then he brought his family, his children together. Don't be as stupid as I was. Now I've done nothing. I'm going over into the regions beyond, and I haven't done a thing for the Lord. And time again, the Lord has amongst us sent people in and told us where the lot of the, where his lot is. Like I say, he was 2 weeks from dying. The doctor gave him 2 weeks. And here he's lamenting because he hasn't done a thing for the Lord. You and I, we decided to follow the Lord. We decided we didn't want no part of that all right thing because we saw for it what it is. Because we had that man come to our house. And he told us exactly what that all right thing is. It's nothing but first class deception. And then as I journeyed on, I found out behind it is the spirit of Satan. Just that simple. And then we decided, you tell them the truth. Guess what? That spirit is going to just spit you out there. He doesn't want to do. I used to wonder what it means. Once you're dead to that system, once you expose it for what it is, they're going to make sure they get rid of you. And that's exactly the same spirit that was back on these people that crucified the Lord. The same spirit that happened in the Dark Ages. It's that same spirit. And we got the ammunition to expose them for what they are. All these cults, I don't care what it is, if it's not part of that stream from the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, and then here we're putting in the finishing touches to it. If you're not interconnected with that, it's going out to hell and death. It's just that simple. There's no in-between here. And you can take it or leave it, but we have decided to follow Jesus, and we have the scriptures to back it up, like back in the days of Hosea. Hosea was a man sent from God, and he was the voice in his hour, and they rejected him, especially once the Lord told him to go marry this prostitute. And they thought they had the rights to condemn him, and because God told them to marry this prostitute. And then, like I say, they thought they had the rights to mock him and everything under the sun. But see, he did what the Lord told him to do. And he was that boy back in the days, and they didn't listen to him, and they went out, and the Assyrians came and they took him out, and they're still out there today, the 10 northern tribes. And the same thing today. God has called us out to be a watchman for these closing days of time, for all these religions out there, and we're telling people, a watchman that sends out warnings, and that's all we're doing. We're sending people a warning what's coming, and it's here in this generation. This is the last generation that's going to be before all these things happen, because back in 48, when Israel became a nation, the Bible says, this generation that sees the restoration of Israel, that generation will not pass away until all these things happen. And you open your eyes and you can see exactly what's happening over in Israel. Israel is being restored. It's going to come back right to its former glory, exactly the way the scripture says. At the end of the day, the word of God has the final say so in everything. I don't have the final say so. God doesn't have the final say. Jesus does not have the final say so. The Word of God has the final say-so and everything, because God has put His Word above His very name. Because Jesus said, the Father judges no man. And then Jesus comes along, I'm not going to judge you either. The words that I speak is going to judge us on that day. And then that's why we say, the Word of God is above everything else. And that's what we're going by. We're strictly going by the Word of God. And the Word of God, according to the Scripture, says, this prophet, Malachi 4 prophet, behold, I'll send you Elisha the prophet. That's all we're doing. We're keeping this thing alive, and we're keeping this thing alive with that guy from Forest River calling that boss said, and we're keeping this thing alive with that mama here from Sunnyside College said when he was dying. He had 2 weeks left, and he was lamenting and crying the blues because he hasn't done nothing for the Lord. Well, we heard all about this thing, and we had to make a decision what we're going to do. And we finally made up on my mind, we're going to follow Jesus no matter what. And then when you were asked, Lorraine, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married? And you just told your brother, no, I see what Jesus has for me. And then we were tested and tried right to the utmost. And that's where we're at here. That's why we can truly say, if you're either against us or you're for us. We're not making no apologies. We don't have to explain nothing to nobody because the Word of God explains everything for us. Because we know we're right. We know we're spot on.
Mm-hmm. Like I was reminded today of, people don't like it when we talk about the Hutterites. And people don't understand, like Hosea was a prophet to Israel. And he was around 800 B.C. And he spoke about the things that God put on his heart to say about Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, it was no point going talking to the Assyrians because he came out from Israel. He was a prophet to Israel. Mm-hmm. And people don't like it when we say something about the Hutterites because they say we left. Why talk about them? Well, that's the whole point of it. Like when you will look at martyrs back in the days when they were martyred and in the Catholic Church, killed the Christians there. There's a lot of songs that you will read that they talk about the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the Pope. He's talking about Roman Catholicism and the Pope and the leadership there. Those writers that wrote these songs when they were imprisoned and they were tortured and things like that, they knew who their enemy was.
Yeah.
And they spoke on it. That's the same way, like, the things that God allowed us to see, we're responsible to warn people of what it's about. If we don't, we're held responsible. So if we listen to people when they say we shouldn't talk about the Hutterites, well, then we can't be a servant to God. Because if we're going to please men and what they want us to say, then we cannot be a servant of God. If I yet please men, Paul said, if I yet please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ. And you either serve men or you serve the Lord. If you want to please men, you're going to tell them lies.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to serve God, you're going to tell people the truth. And the prophets back in the day, they told people the truth. Hosea, like you will look at the life of Hosea, like he was told to go marry a prostitute. Do you think these people would listen to him because he went and married a prostitute? But that's the way God does it sometimes. He married a prostitute, but in his whole life story, It reflects what Israel did to God. Mm-hmm. They went and prostituted themselves out to foreign gods and rejected the God that brought them out of Egyptian, brought them out of a bondage, and set them as a free people to live in the land of Canaan. And here they went turning to other gods. And so his whole life story, Hosea's, was set as a type to let the children of Israel know how God looks at them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he married his prostitute, and he was and they had three children. The one was named, God told him to name Jezreel. And that Jezreel meant scattered. So God's going to scatter them. And then the other one was named Unpitied. I'm not going to have pity on you. And that's exactly what happened when the Syrians came. God did not have pity on them. And then you can see the next one. You are not my people.
Mm-hmm.
God rejected the children of Israel and Judah as a whole and said, you are not my people. And he went to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Gentile era, 2,000 years, God is going to go back to the Jewish people, and then they're going to be his people again, and he's going to do great and marvelous things for him. But you can see that the whole life of Hosea had a purpose. And that's the same way God brought us through all this. He let us see these things in order for us to speak on it.
And then just like Hosea, then he told me to go pick you up. And all of a sudden, they think they got a license to think this is a Shekinah program. And then when they see us, automatically their life, their mind, they goes right into the gutter and they get amongst themselves. And so much, even sent me an email, you're going to have to apologize to everybody because you're living in sin, that they throw at us. And these people are demon-possessed because the devil uses them. The devil knows this is not a Shekinah program, but he's making it appear like it is. Just like back in the days of Hosea, they thought they had the lies to make fun of him. And it's just the same thing all over and over again. But we got the Bible to back us up. But these people, like when they see it, they speak evil of those things which they know not. You can read it over in Jude, verse 10. But these people, they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. See, they're natural. They're natural people. They think naturally. They have been born again. So of course you think naturally. And as brood beasts, that's what the Bible says, as brood beasts, these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after Arabalam. That's exactly what's going on right in front of our face. That's why we can truly say, you're either with us or you're against us. There's no in between, because we know what we're talking about. But these men do not understand the things they slander. And they are being destroyed by the very things, like rational animals, they instinctively comprehend. These are blessed and all is done from seed next visit. See, they're clueless because they're natural. They think naturally. They're not born again, so of course they think naturally. These are blessed and all is done from seed next visit. They're clueless what you and I were about because God of this world has blinded their understanding and has messed up their picture that they think naturally. Especially if we're baptized under that Roman Catholic diabolical satanic baptism. Then you're going to see exactly what the Catholics are. Vasi aber natürlich erkennen, wie die unvernünftige Tiere darin verderben. See, they're condemning, they're defiling themselves, or speaking evil of things they're completely clueless. They don't even have to speak it. When they see you and I together, they just think it. That's like natural brood beast. We can see the smirk on their face when they see them down at the store. Think they got a license to mock us. Think they got a license to do the things they do. Because they're natural. They're not born again. They're natural. Brute beasts think naturally. But see, that's why we say you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, you think like an animal, you know. You think like an animal thinks. And you think when they see us together, it's a Shekinah program. But see, thereby, they're defiling themselves. They don't even have to say it. But see, we're living by the Word of God. We got the Word of God to back us up, and we don't really care. We don't have to apologize to nobody. We don't have to explain nothing to nobody, because we know we're right. You don't have to, that doesn't bother us, and they come in here, and they try to accuse us of this, that, and the other. And, but see, we were moving by the Word of God. One day we saw the corruption in that system, and we started speaking out against it. And that's where that became our lot in life. And like I say, they'll throw you out. All you got to do is tell them the truth, and they'll do the rest. That's exactly what happened.
Like it's like when God allows you to see something, you are to speak on it. Like you can look at Brother Branham and the many things he was allowed to see, like anointed once in the end time, and he saw like a picture that God showed him that the end time, there's going to be people that arise that are going to have an anointing on them. And in that anointing, they deceive people. And you can read it in the Bible that God is going to send a strong delusion that people will believe a lie because they did not have a love for truth. And when people reject the truth, the God of heaven sends them sends a strong delusion, and the anointing that you see a lot on those preachers is a delusion to deceive people. And people are not aware of it because it looks so real. But the things of what the devil does, he brings with it such a strong sensation that people think it's real. And in the end, that's why so many people, when they reach the other side, they don't know what is this all about. Why am I not at a good place? Like you were saying, that Joe Mendel's testimony, like he had a testimony, he had a out of the body experience, and then he was encountered with that he had not done anything for Jesus. All his life he thought he was doing something for God, but in it all, it wasn't. And so that's the deception that people are faced with. They're deceived that what they're doing is actually they're serving God. But the Bible, it says they think they do God a service, but they don't. That's what a deception will. And if you don't have the Word of God to back you up, you are most likely being deceived.
Okay, back in the days of Adam and Eve, when that serpent came to Eve, and that serpent, he was an upright creature. He wasn't a reptile. He was an upright creature. But what happened is Satan, he was watching in the shadows, and he was inspiring that serpent creature to go and have a sexual relationship with Eve. And she was so enticed and deluded that she thought she's doing the right thing. And she fell right into his trap. That's the way he is today. These false anointed out there. When we talk about these preachers and these pulpits, some of them, oh man, can they preach. They'll put the saint to shame. The way they can bring tears to your eyes. I watched that John Hagee and some of these anointed preachers. But see, they're falsely anointed. I listen to Billy Graham sometimes. They're falsely anointed. They can get work on the people's emotions to the point they just crowd down there to receive the Lord, or the so-called receiving the Lord. But it's all built on emotions, and that preacher up there, he's so anointed. But see, he's anointed of Satan to take people out to hell and death, and they don't even know it. And they convince themselves, even people like Bill Clinton. Oh yeah, I was at Billy Graham's crusade once, and my parents took me down to Billy Graham crusade, and I went down there and I received the Lord and all that. Even these bushes and all these people, mm-hmm, living like the devil and think they're saved.
Yep.
That's the first class deception from these preachers. Mm-hmm. And then they go to John Hagee's church down there in Texas, and he says, if you're not in this church when the rapture comes, you're not going to no rapture. You got to be here in this church. That's how they got the people deluded, because they're falsely anointed, just like that serpent in the garden. He was falsely anointed from Satan, that came to the point where Eve actually was convinced that she's doing the right thing. But she was deluded. She was taken out of her, swept out of her feet by that cunning, crafty, serpent-like creature. These creatures, they're around here yet today, working overtime, seducing and being seduced, leading people out to hell and death. And then we come along and we tell people the truth, and what do they do? They put us in the house because we're telling them the truth. It's just that simple. That's what this is all about. That's why the Lord has called you and I to be watchmen, and that's what we're doing, because a watchman goes out there and he warns people, and he doesn't bend, he don't bow, he don't bow, he don't compromise, he just cuts right through the chase. That's exactly what you and I are doing. If you want it, fine. If not, well, go fly a kite, you know. It's not our business what people say to our thing. We just put it out there as plain daylight for people to make a choice. And you and I, we made a decision back in the day. We're going to follow Jesus no matter what they throw at us. And we know pretty well what's going to cost us. I said, the Lord, let me know. We're going to cost you everything. He says, because the Bible backs it up. If you're not willing to lose your life for his sake and the gospel, you're not even worthy to be mine. If you don't even as much as hate your family, your wife, your children, all these things have got to become a secondary item. And that's what they've become to you and I. They're a secondary item. They need salvation just like everybody else needs salvation. Just because they're a family, that does not give them a ticket to glory. And yeah, like I say, you're either for us or you're against us. It's just that simple.
And that's why it says here in Visite 5, we thought that their lives were madness and that their end was without honor.
Mm-hmm.
Why have they been numbered among the children of God, and why is their lot among the saints? So they're saying why they didn't realize all that until their eyes were open and they were able to see that the people that they thought were fools are on the side amongst the saints. Mm-hmm. And they didn't when they were in life, they thought they were the downcast. Mm-hmm. And the rejected ones in society and people looked down on. Now, but on the other side, it transformed into a different picture, and they were saying that the sun didn't shine on them. They weren't able to see the light. And that's the sad part, you know, not being able to see because of being in darkness and being blinded by deception.
That's exactly what that Joe from Forest River is calling him. He thought he was one of them there. He thought he'll be shining like the star forever and ever. And he thought for sure he got to have a trick at the glory when he lived in that commune there. But when he was dead, the reality stuck in, and it's exactly, he saw exactly what these guys were here. His life didn't matter. His life didn't rate because he had not done nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden he realized, it dawned on him, but God rich in mercy, he gave him another chance, and he went back and told the Hutterites what the problem was. Well, this is nothing but first glad deception. And then like I told you about that guy here from Sunnyside, he's 2 weeks from dying, and he all of a sudden it dawned on him. He must have heard that guy give his testimony or something. All of a sudden it dawned on him that it was right and true because he has not done nothing for Jesus. All he did was work in that cult. Every time you saw him in Winnipeg. Wherever you saw, he always had work clothes on. Always working. Thought it was the way to heaven, just working in that commune. But at the end of the day, he realized he hasn't done a thing for Jesus. We heard about all that stuff. And it got us to pondering. As many a night I woke up in these 15 years since I heard that man come to our house. Many a night I woke up in a cold sweat realizing I'm living here in that colony, I'm working here, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans on the scales of eternity. And I'd wake up like in a cold sweat sometimes realizing I'm not doing nothing for the Lord. And then one day the Lord saw my heart and he got me to go up and speak against these thugs up there. They call themselves preachers. We call them thugs because they're agents of Satan and they don't even know it. And they think they can go into a man's house and terrorize his children and all that stuff and thinking they're doing God a service. I got their number. And I'm not complaining because God used that very position, that very condition to expose them now who they really are. They're nothing but agents of Satan. And then we say that, they think we're blaspheming. But see, we got their number. They're not born again. They do things that Satan likes these kind of people because he can use them in the pulpit and he can anoint them, falsely anoint them, and then he can pretend that the people believe there's really something when they come on with that anointing. And then we're just out here, we're cutting to the chase. We're telling it exactly the way it needs to be told. And ain't nobody gonna stop us. We don't have to apologize to nobody. We don't have to explain nothing to nobody. We're just putting out the word. Now it's up to you. You either come with us or you come against us. It's just that simple. There's no middle of the road here. This is just that simple. We're just telling people the way it is. And like I say, you can either take it or leave it. We don't have to apologize to nobody what we're saying because we know we're right. According to the scripture, not according to my opinion, not according to my idea. We just read to you here what happened to these people that they think they're out there thinking they're doing all the service. Like these people over in Jude 10, I believe it is. They're like brute beasts. They speak evil of things which they're completely clueless of. But they think we're stupid. They think we don't know what's going on around us. But see, we're not stupid. We know exactly. And we know exactly what people think of us. Just like they did throughout the scriptures. Just like it did back in Visite 5. You can go read it yourself if you don't believe it. We're not making these things up. We're just cutting to the chase. We're saying it exactly the way it needs to be said. And as you're going, all these things will happen here in this last generation. This is the last generation. Within 3 years, there's not going to be nothing left of Satan and his towards. Just that simple. That's when they'll say, to the rocks fall and us into the mountain. Hide us from him that's coming back. But they're going to see it with their own eyes. And we're just putting out the warning. That's what the watchman does. He warns people. They can take it or leave it. It's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord. And we give you thanks for another day of life. For everything you do for us. For all your blessings, Lord. And you know, the path that you have allowed us to walk on, Lord. And it's such an honor and such a privilege to walk in your ways, in the ways of righteousness, Lord. Although, like David said, I have more enemies than the hairs on our heads, Lord. But if we have our standing right with you, Lord, that's all that matters, Lord. So we just want to present to people that they one day will not speak and say that the light of righteousness did not shine on us and the sun did not rise on us, Lord. Because they were deceived, Lord. So we just want to let people know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, Lord. And the way is still straight. And there's a race to be run, Lord. And we just want to finish that race. And we just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.